It must be so hard for you that you failed as a musician, but I hope that Google is like a, I hope that you're still happy here even though your dreams didn't work out.
Welcome to episode 49 of Untamed Shrews, Women Talk Theater. Well, and a man today, presented by the Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Hannah.
And I'm Becky. And today we are chatting with one of my good friends, best friends, Ian Leroy. Ian is a music director, educator. I would say he's a polymath. I think he would appreciate that.
What is that?
That's like somebody who does a lot of things.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like a multi-hyphenate,
Yeah,
I guess.
multi-hyphenate. Cool.
Hiking enthusiast, tour guide, unofficial tour guide enthusiast, like person who plans things at new places. Ian's one of my best friends. We met, gosh, I guess over a decade ago now, when we were both working for a summer stock out west. And yeah, we've stayed friends ever since. And yeah, I'm happy that we're gonna chat with him.
Yay, Ian.
Yay.
Okay, well, before we bring Ian in, Shrews, how the heck are ya? Dawn, what's new?
Oh man, so much. What's new? Well, I'm sitting in my new office because we moved the
Woohoo!
children into the same bedroom, which has been wonderful and hilarious and sometimes incredibly frustrating. So yeah, it was their idea, but it did allow me to turn our old bedroom into an office, which is really nice, because now I have an office. It's funny because I was just thinking about how the biggest project that I'm working on we have not yet talked about on Shrews, and so we'll have to make some space to do that in the sometime
We'll
near
just have an
future.
episode, yeah.
Yeah, we should do an episode.
What a nice little teaser.
Nice little teaser. We're working on a real big project here in Flagstaff, and we've had some really amazing positive progress there. Also, I just said yes to step into the role of Babs at in Theatrikos' production of Life Sucks, which is a really a hilarious adaptation of Uncle Vanya by Chekhov. I mean, it's hilarious and it's heartbreaking, and it's so yeah, it's a really great chance for me. I'm just working with some of my absolute favorite people to work with. That's the reason I said yes. If Jeremy had just emailed me and been like, "Will you take on this role 1 month into rehearsal?" I would have said absolutely not. But he listed all the other amazing actors, a lot of whom are Flagshakes folks.
Yay.
And I said, "Well, now I can't say
Well, in
no."
that case.
So I said yes. Unfortunately, the actress who was in the role was in an accident that left her unable to continue in the role. And so there was an understudy, but the understudy was only supposed to do one performance and is not available for the full final week. So she and I are basically splitting the first 2 weeks of the run, and then I'm closing out the run as Babs. So really fun, really intimidating. I haven't acted since before Blake was born. So I've been really nervous about it, especially about memorization and having such a short time period to kind of get off book on the role. So
What a
yeah,
fun
but really
challenge.
fun. I think those are all the really huge things for me. Yeah.
Well, of course, we go out. We're sending our good healing vibes to
Oh,
the actor who had
yes, I
to
know.
take a step back.
Yes.
And
We,
also very excited to see you, Dawn.
yeah, the cast has heard from her, and I was
Good.
there when she sent the little message. And,
Okay.
she was saying, just getting healing one day at a time. She didn't sustain any major physical injuries, but did get a concussion in the accident, which is something that's really hard to recover from, and I think would make doing a play nearly
Hard.
impossible.
My goodness.
So, but it does sound like, she's on in the recovery process. So, yeah.
Good.
That's everything. And now I'm going to run to a meeting. This is sort of more of a teaser to do something I swore I would never do again in my life, which is create a new 501c3.
Oh, that's great. Good.
So
Good to
I
hear.
told Elizabeth I'd meet her at Beaver Street Theater at
Okay.
Elizabeth is my assistant for our Shrew listeners. She's a
Woohoo.
wonderful, fabulous human being.
Yes.
But yes, in 2 minutes, I promised I would be with her to create an agenda. I'm not doing it alone this time, so that is a huge upswing. I think it's going to go
Awesome.
much
Yeah.
smoother.
Much smoother.
But yeah, I do have to laugh at myself because I have said out loud to Sean several times that I will never, ever form a new 501c3 nonprofit ever again in my life.
Nothing's
So,
permanent.
people,
Nothing's permanent.
just lean really hard away from
Never say
expressions like never,
never.
ever. Promise I won't. Yeah, be a little less definitive, or you'll be sorry later. Okay, so I love you guys, but I'm gonna check out of the check-in.
Great. Sounds
Okay.
good. All right, Bex, how about you?
Well, I am currently in Florida. I'm visiting my little niece.
Yay.
Yeah, I last saw her when she was, I guess, about 6 weeks old, and now she's about 4 months old. So
Wow.
that's so exciting. Yeah, I was saying before we started recording, like she can now like keep her head up. And like
Yeah.
she now wants to like see what everyone's doing. She doesn't want to be like sitting, like if you're holding her, she
Right.
doesn't want to be sitting. She wants you to be standing so she can see what's going
Yes.
on in the room. And
Out in the world.
yeah, and she's like, there's little hints of like maybe a giggle is coming. So yeah, that's
Oh.
been, oh gosh, it's just been so nice to be able to spend the time with her. Yeah, and of
That's
course, like
great.
help support my sister and brother-in-law in their new parent journey. I closed The Marvelous Wanderettes with Theatricos
Woohoo!
about a month ago or 3 weeks ago or
Has it
whatever.
already been a month? No way. Yeah,
Whatever that
almost.
time frame is, yeah. Which I don't know. I just it truly was such an exciting moment, and I just yeah felt super blessed to have been part of that show. And yeah. And now with Flag Shakes, we are, oh boy, we are getting so close to the start of the summer season, and things are picking up and can feel the momentum. And of course, like summer, like end of spring, summer in Flagstaff is just such an exciting
Gorgeous.
time to be there. So yeah, there's just a lot going on. And yeah, it's nice to be kind of out of the winter and get a little bit more sunshine. And
Although we never had true
I
winter.
know we had like
A
one
sad
snowstorm.
winter. Yeah, it was a really sad winter. Crazy.
Yeah, so it's cool. I'm doing the pollinator parade that
Oh, fun.
Momentum is part of, and we're doing a little aerial show. So that's cool. That's kind of being my first time doing aerial, not in like a showcase
Oh,
or in
sure.
the narrative circus.
Yeah.
So yeah, just kind of like just
Like
out.
outside that room. Yeah.
Yeah, which I am so nervous and excited for.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. Yeah, just doing aerial like in the sunshine just feels different. Like it all feels slightly different. So it's a new experience. That's exciting.
Though I do have a pair of sunglasses that really fit the theme,
Oh,
so I
perfect.
might maybe it's a little
Practice
bit
with
of
those.
cheating
Yeah.
where I'll be wearing sunglasses so I don't have to worry about like the sun in my
Oh no, but just like the not, you know what I mean, just the being of outside. There's ambient sound, there's people walking by, there's wind, there's, you know, everything just feels slightly different. Yeah.
Yeah,
You're
100%.
on a rig, of course, which feels very different than being like attached to the ceiling,
Oh,
you know?
that's true. Yeah,
Yeah. The
I've
rig,
never
you know,
performed on
rigs,
a rig.
they change by, you know, they'll change by half an inch or whatever. You know, like once you add weight, they'll settle, you know, so they feel a bit different, obviously, than the ceiling does. Yeah, so fun. Yay, exciting.
So, Hannah, how are
Cool.
you? What's new with
Ah,
you?
I'm good. So Alice in Wonderland just closed this weekend.
How'd it go? I
Really
was the one to miss
good.
it.
Oh,
Yay.
that's okay. That's okay. It was recorded, so if you need to see it.
Good. Good.
Yeah, that was our third narrative aerial production. So I'm sure I've talked about it on the pod, but I'm the director of the narrative aerial program at the Aerial Studio, where we teach theater skills to our dancers. And so we did Alice in Wonderland this semester. I am as much fun and how amazing Alice in Wonderland went. I'm so happy to not be writing a script this week because I took summer off. So we're not doing a narrative aerial production for the summer. So we'll come back in the fall which is so good because literally is like not even before one show ends, I'm already working on the next. So I'm glad that I'm not writing a script right now for the summer semester. So that was really good turnout. Both show, I guess maybe the matinee didn't quite sold out, but it was maybe like three away from selling out. And then the evening show sold out. So we had really good turnout and everyone seemed to really like it. So that was exciting. And then really for me, I have a couple of more quiet weeks, which is great. Before I'm in two shows over the summer. I don't know how that happened, but I am playing, the ink is dry for both, so I can announce.
Yay!
I am playing Rosalind and As You Like It at the Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival, directed by Jim Warren. Yay, my favorite director of all time. So it's exciting. And then I also, this was a bit of a like a surprise. I'm playing Reza in Once at Theatricos. And thankfully, As You Like It is the afternoon show and Once is an evening show, so I can actually do both, which is crazy. But I will not have a day off for like 3 months because they have opposite days off. So I'll have lighter days where I maybe only go to rehearsal for one, but I don't think I'll have a day off except for like 4th of July, Juneteenth, like those kinds of days. I won't have a day off for quite a while.
Oh my goodness.
So that's going to be really busy.
Yeah,
But
what
I'm
an
very
exciting summer
excited.
for you.
Yeah, and I'm super excited because my husband is also in Once, and the ink is also dry for him, so I can announce it. But that's so
Yay.
exciting. Jacob and I, of course, have done my one-woman shows together, but we've never like been in a show together. So that is super fun.
I'm just so excited for you both.
Yeah.
What an awesome experience that you're gonna get to have.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And Jacob was like, well, now that you're in the show, like, no brainer. Well, what was funny is that I didn't get a call back. So we absolutely did not think that I was in the running. And Jacob had a call back and he, stayed the whole time, did really well. He was reading for the lead, actually. He didn't end up getting the lead, but we actually thought that I was not in the running, which was totally fine. So, but then we both got offers and we were like, oh, whoa, okay. And Jacob was like, well, now it's a no-brainer because I thought I was going to maybe have to do it without you. And now, obviously, for sure, I'm going to say yes. So it was a
Yay.
good, easy yes for each of us. And it's an Irish musical, which is, our vibes. So
Fantastic. And
very
it
exciting.
also just goes to show you, True Crew, that like the people behind the table are like nothing like an at like nothing means one certain thing, right? Like not getting a call back does not mean that you're out of the running. It just means, or it could mean
They
that
saw what they
they
needed to see.
yeah and like and they know like yeah so
Which was
yeah
fascinating. I was like,
yeah
really? Okay, cool.
Come again.
Which is really funny. So,
yeah
yeah,
yay
that's honestly kind of the big stuff.
yeah
Alice ending. I'm gonna, I've started highlighting my lines and working on paraphrasing and stuff,
Yeah.
so the next few weeks are really just prepping for the crazy summer. I'm only teaching one class this semester at the Aerial Studio, because I needed to pare down. So yeah, things are kind of quieter on the aerial side for this semester, but they are crazy on the theater side. So,
It's that like ebbing and flowing, right? We talk a little bit about this maybe, like the percentage of
Exactly.
time.
Yeah, and my small day job, I do marketing for a nonprofit here in town. It's a fiber arts nonprofit, and we have the Flagstaff Wool and Fiber Festival, which is an annual event, and that's like our biggest event of the year. And that is literally like 3 days before As You Like It starts. So the next few weeks are like big day job weeks and then lots of memorizing. And then honestly, after Flag Wool ends, it's just going to be like theater till September, which is really exciting. So yeah. What else? Jacob and I are trying to buy a house, but that emotional journey of making an offer, not getting accepted, seeing a house, it being gone, it being too expensive, this, that. So we're on the journey of hopefully being able to buy a house soon, but who knows? Like it could take us years. So that's also been kind of on the docket of just like seeing houses and crunching numbers and all those things, making offers. And yeah, so yeah.
Oh
I
my
don't
God.
know if we did get a house over the summer, though. I'm not sure when we'd move. when we would have the
On the
time.
singular day that you have off.
Exactly. So that would be crazy if it did, if any of these houses did, pan out, but we'd make it
But Jacob
work.
does he mostly have summer off?
Yeah,
Obviously, summer
he's a
rehearsals.
teacher. Yeah, he's a teacher, so he'll have summer off. Except the studio is really taking off. We opened, I think I discussed last month, that we opened up our own guitar studio downtown, and he's like running a summer special, and so he's getting a ton of new students for summer. But that's all build your own schedule. So yeah, he'll be teaching a lot of private lessons, but he won't have to go to school. So he'll be in once, he'll have lessons. But yeah, if I'm just like absolutely unavailable, I'll make him, pack the boxes and do the dishes or whatever. 'Cause I don't know, it's gonna be a crazy, crazy few months. So yeah,
Well,
not
you've
good.
been getting really into meal prepping, right? Or at least breakfast.
I've been trying to be better, and I also really try to, even if I don't meal prep, I just try to menu prep. So even if I don't make the food ahead of time, I do try to like at least choose what we're eating. So that way I'm not like, what should we have tonight? So maybe it's not physically prepped, but at least it's mentally prepped. And some
That's
weeks are
right.
better than others. Some weeks I'm way more prepped than others. Like last week for Alice, I was definitely not meal
That was
prepped.
not a that was
No.
a not a
Not a
meal prep week for
priority.
you. That's okay.
No.
That's okay.
But other weeks I do pretty good. Like this week I'll probably do really well because it's a bit of a quieter week. So just depends. Yeah.
Well,
So yeah.
yay.
Anywho. Okay, cool.
Great.
Awesome.
And I also want to just give a little shout out for Flag Shakes' upcoming show, Every Brilliant Thing,
Woo.
starring AJ Flores, directed by Matthew Wyndham.
Woo.
That's going to be at the end of May, May 29th to 31st. Every single ticket is pay what you wish. So if that's $0, that's fine. If that's $100, that's also fine.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Well, yay, let's jump on over.
Just in my list of things about Ian, I would just also love to say phenomenal human being.
Oh, he
So
is.
just want to say that as well.
Yay, Ian.
Yay. Okay. And now to the phenomenal human being. Hey,
Yes. Woohoo.
friend. How's it going?
It's
Hey,
really good.
Ian. Do
happy to be
you.
here.
Yeah, we're so excited that you're here too. Do you want to tell the Shrew crew a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a music director in musical theater, and I'm starting as an assistant professor of musical theater music direction in the fall. And I also spent a few years working in tech.
Since you started in tech was in like 2020, right? Or was it a little bit before?
It was 2021.
Okay. A little after.
So I was always, I guess I can just explain this. I was always sort of ambivalent about going into music. When I was in high school, I really liked math and physics, and I thought about majoring in that. But I got scholarships to be a pianist, and so I was like, I guess I'm doing this. I've never been the. I have to be doing this. I have to be making art for money, type. And so when the pandemic hit, I got an opportunity to do a tech apprenticeship at Google. And so I worked at Google for 4 years, and that just ended a few months ago. Yeah.
Well, then you're segueing us right on in. Yeah, so today's topic, I'm really excited for this one. I'm really thinking of some fun names for clickbait. Hello, everyone. I'm thinking of like We Left Theater or something just to be like, what? So people are like, no, not the shrews. But what we want to talk about today was an idea Becky had about why people leave theater and if they come back or they don't come back, or what kind of jobs do they take? And if they do, like, what are those relevant skills that, we have musical theater degrees, so why is anyone going to hire us? And what about our degrees, intrigues them and makes us good employees? And just that whole discussion of why leave? How do you make that decision? How do you come back if you want to? All those things. So let's Let's jump right in. How did you, so did it, was it really just that the opportunity came to you, or were you feeling tired or, struggling with getting the work you wanted? Why did you make that initial jump?
Yeah, so I moved to New York City in 2018, and I was doing well. I was working full time as a musician. I was doing interesting gigs, but I got hired at a major cruise line, and they put me up in a really nice two-bedroom apartment with a pool and a car, and it was
Oh,
like
whoa. Wait.
sort of a yeah.
A
Oh, wait,
car?
on land for the rehearsals.
Wow. Yes, yeah.
Oh,
So I was the
okay. Oh my
I was
gosh.
the I was the install music director. So I taught the show
Oh.
on land in Florida,
I
and then
see.
did Tech Week for a few a couple of weeks on the ship, but I wasn't on like the 12-month contract. So in many ways, a dream gig and the best I'd ever been paid, and still with that, it was 6 days a week and like 7 to 8 hours a day of rehearsal, plus all of the work before and after rehearsal, plus everything, and it was like extraordinarily corporate. I don't know how else to put it. Like the this it's a large industry and it's extremely bureaucratic, and I think that this can be the case with Broadway shows. A lot of the high-level arts institutions have many, many layers of bureaucratic business decision making, and so I sort of felt like I was a cog in a machine, teaching people how to sing pop rock songs. And I was like, oh wow, I'm miserable. I'm not having a good time. Like I like the actors I'm working with, but there are some issues that are both bureaucratic and like systemic, with these larger institutions. I'd been meeting a lot of Broadway music directors and sitting in on Broadway pits,
And
and
working on
it.
off-Broadway, like stage readings, musical readings.
Yeah, I'd done both new musicals and also like gone in and worked on some major off-Broadway shows. And I kept on being struck by how corporate it was. And I'm not saying this to insult Broadway people, of course, but it's functionally like the guy who played for Wicked Keyboard One played it for 10 years, same thing every night. And so as I was reflecting on my interests, I was like, oh, I could be doing data entry, and at least it would be different data every day. And I'd be working 5 days a week, and I would have health insurance, and I would get paid time off, and so on. And so, like, if I'm going to be doing something corporate, I could be working a lot less. And that's, is I my high school prom date, Emily Nye, who's now she writes films, but she worked at Google for like 10 years, and she had always said, if you want a reference, if you want a reference. And so they opened up applications for a new apprenticeship program in New York City, and I had a blast. I really enjoyed it. I worked like 90% of the time, and then they had on-the-job training about 10% of the time. And so they taught the basics of coding, the like basics of digital marketing and sales and whatnot. And then I was on YouTube sales, and then eventually moved to a different team that was sort of more complicated tech sales that I can get into later. But I had a really great time, and it in many ways fulfilled all of my expectations, that the work was different every day and the people were really interesting, and the pay was better, and I got paid time off, and so on and so forth. Yeah,
And
so
you could work from home, right? Was it 100% remote or?
it was, well, it started over the pandemic, and so for both of my roles at Google, it was 100% remote, but they'd really like it if I came in. And so then There's like a social capital aspect of if I went in more, they'd probably like me more, but I really don't want to commute today, that sort of thing.
You know, it's really interesting because, you're bringing up Broadway and such, and we've had our, demystifying Broadway series. And something that has been across all of our folks that we've had on is the idea of at that level, there's so much money that has gone in, it does become a bit of a machine, and it doesn't feel quite the same as theater on these other levels. And so we've definitely heard what you're saying several times. So don't feel, at least I think we've started to gather that that's a common feeling from these folks. Not that it's bad, it's just that's the way Broadway is. Like when you get to that level, the show is this way. There is not very much room for change, difference, artistic freedom. Like the show has to be what it is, and we are being paid to deliver that exact show.
Like this cog in the machine. When I was a stage management apprentice for a large regional house, which I mean, it was like one or two steps below like Broadway. It was a big regional house. But I remember we were doing one show, and it was a very ensemble-based show, and we had understudies, and we were doing an understudy put-in rehearsal, and the PSM was like literally said like, this show is a well-oiled machine. Like we are just fitting you into this. So like you gotta kind of know your stuff kind of thing, which is true. And that is what is expected of understudies. But it's just funny, like the cog in the machine, like, yeah, like you're here to do a job and like we need you to do it kind of to a T like this. So
But I think you brought up something that I think we'll be largely discussing in this episode is, the reasons why people leave. And I think a lot of it comes down to time off, money, and health insurance.
Often,
And so I want to talk about that. Shrews, what do we think? Like, it's how do we make this better? Because people leave because they don't make enough money, they don't have time off, and they don't have health insurance. Let's discuss.
Well, Ian, I'm curious, did you feel like the benefits were what was the benefit package like? I don't know how to say this in a good way, but like, was
Worth
it good? Like, did you
it?
feel like, oh yes, this is part of the reason why I wanted to do this? I can now take time off, to go on vacation or to go maybe do something art related that I maybe couldn't have done before.
Yeah, it was a little bit part of the calculus. I think you'll discover over the next 40 minutes or so that I'm kind of cynical, but I was honestly just kind of also getting bored of music directing, musical theater. And so for me, the primary thing was, oh, this seems like an interesting, I can learn some new skills and like break up the monotony of my life. And obviously theater is an exciting industry,
Well,
but
that's true.
I've been
Like,
doing it for a decade, you know?
And when you are doing a show, maybe for, that may has a run that's longer than like when you've been a pianist, like that's longer than 3 weeks or whatever. Yeah, at some point, like it
You
does
get
just
bored.
become your job. And yeah, what seems exciting to people who are not in theater, like at some point it's like, yeah, well, this is month four of the same show. So yeah, we're finding
Totally.
ways to keep it exciting, but it's month four of the same show. So
So for you, Ian, it was more just like I needed a break. I needed to step away for a while.
But now you are going back into like theater academia. So do you feel like that break, you're like, okay, yeah, now I'm ready to go back into it. Or yeah, now I'm ready for something new. Or I'm ready to, I've rediscovered why I love this. Anything like that?
So it's unusual. I don't In academia, in order to get a tenure track professor position, typically you need to have a terminal degree. In theater, it's an MFA. In music, it's a DMA or a PhD, right? And I don't have a terminal degree. And so I had always said to myself, like, well, I really love teaching. I would love to be music director for a university musical theater program, but man, I don't feel like getting my PhD or my DMA or anything. I don't want to go back to school. And so when my Google contract ended, I saw some university openings, and I was like, I'll apply. What's the worst that can happen? But I genuinely expected them to all be no's out of the gate. And so this is sort of a dream job for me. And for me, I think teaching is my number one passion slash vocation calling. And I find teaching to be different every day and like really thrilling and interesting and exciting. And so it's less about going back to musical theater for me and more that I'm getting sort of a lovely teaching job in a field that I happen to have expertise in, if that makes sense.
Which kind of ties into the something new with the data entry kind of stuff, where it's like, oh yes, now this is like a new thing that you get to do, kind of shake up your day a little bit.
In a program, theoretically, a show is never going to run. I mean, for a musical theater program, these kids aren't going to be doing a show for longer than 2 or 3 weekends because that's just how it goes. And a musical theater program is going to put on 8 shows in a year, or whatever it might be, 6 or 4. So you're not just going to be doing the same show forever and ever. You're going to be starting a new show with new kids every year, every semester, And so you're going to be constantly pumping out new shows, learning new music, learning new material. So while you are doing the musical theater thing, it's a constant turnover. Yeah, new kids, new experiences, new shows, new, every kid needs something slightly different, like what you're working on with them. So it does. I'd say I'm really excited for you, Ian, because that means like you get
Thanks.
to do what you did love, but like in that thing that you needed, which is really exciting. I'm glad for you.
Yeah, thanks. And health insurance
In
also.
health insurance. Yes, back to my other question before that we derailed from. Health insurance.
I mean, we cannot fix the United States of America, so.
Because, Becky and I even looked early on into, programs that really could and should be able to work for things like nonprofits, small nonprofits or small businesses. What are they called? They're called like PCPs or no,
Oh,
that's
yeah, it
primary
was
care
called
provider. Getting
that.
all
Yeah, it was something
confused.
with an acronym like that that was meant to be kind of like maybe it was more like a health share or like
Yeah, so
something like
basically what
that.
it is it's like they will take on, businesses, and they take on all of your HR too, but they'll take on businesses with anywhere from, 1 to 50 employees, right? So that you don't have to buy your own health insurance, but they have that health insurance buying power because now they have 200 companies with one employee. So they have 200 employees that they're looking for health insurance coverage for. But in the United States, that was still, the cheapest plan that they had available was still $900 a month from the employee.
Yeah, as
Oh
the
my gosh.
premium. As
As
the
the
like
premium.
that's not even, oh my God. That's not even going towards your deductible.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sorry. I get
crazy.
so heated when I
So
say
No, we have a
heated.
real we have a real health insurance problem. So that's, I mean, I think that question is kind of a bigger question, right? And, I've thought like, well, could we do it in a more local way? Would we be able to have more power if we got, and maybe this is something that we tackle when we have a Center for the Performing Arts, where we're all under one roof and we can all go into the market together. But, when you've got, 50 nonprofit performance organizations, each with 1 to 2
I
employees,
know,
what
yeah.
do you do? It's really hard. And then the other obvious answer, right, for actors is actors' equity. But again, for a company like us, that becomes not just exorbitantly expensive, but there's so much administration. The first time we handled an equity contract, the second or third time I reached out to equity with a question, they were like, yeah, this is why people hire outside companies to handle their equity contracts because they're so complicated. So, and I was like, but that's yet another
Yeah,
cost that we
expense,
have
yeah.
to pay on top of the equity contract. So, yeah, that one I think is just the hardest one. And I love to be a problem solver, and I am not like a sort of a grumbly kind of government girl, but I'm just like, America
Yeah.
sucks on the health insurance front. We
Well,
just do.
yeah. Well,
and
and
it's
even with,
interesting that you brought, sorry, go ahead.
yeah, even with equity, and Ian, you might know more about this with like the musicians union or whatnot, but even with Equity, you still have to work a certain number of weeks in order to qualify for their health insurance package. So that's still can be tough to
A
meet.
barrier,
Yeah, still a barrier.
Well, and I was going to say, Becky, bringing up equity again, is that like for me, joining the union does not make any sense. I live on top of a mountain in Arizona. Like, me going equity would not help me. In fact, it would hurt me. So, like, the one option I have to get, insurance through my job of gigging, I can't because it would actually make me not get jobs. So it's like, it's so strange. I wish there was like a version of equity for like small markets because, like, I don't live in LA or Chicago or New York. Like, going equity would make no sense. So, yeah, of course, we are not going to solve the problem today, but
No,
wow.
it's a great question though. But the other one, as far as time off, I do think that's where we do a little bit better, in that sort of maybe not as corporate world as the Broadway world, right? Like, I feel like that's actually one of the advantages of my job is, and I'm in arts administration. Well, now I'm in a show, which is different. But even so, I feel like the way that, rehearsals are structured here, we do a really good job of making sure there's 2 days in a row off. We do a really good job of making sure that there's a nice long dinner break. We try really hard to, because we're not maybe paying as well, then we try to make those sort of like fringe benefits a little bit better.
Yeah, like if someone who's local has like weekly conflicts, like I know we've all taken off for aerial classes, like maybe that's not, I mean, I don't know. Ian, you seem to be laughing.
No, it's so cool that you all are in aerial classes. That's
We're like, if we were, maybe if it was, well, I don't know. If it was like Broadway, are they gonna give me every Wednesday off so I can take an aerial class from 7 to 8? I don't know. Probably, who
Probably
knows?
not.
Do I need to figure out how to take an aerial class during the day instead? Probably.
Well,
I
this brings up a good conversation. Dawn, I agree with you. As an arts administrator, flexible. Definitely flexible. As an actor, not so much. As an arts administrator, if I get my job done, I can go thrifting for the rest of the day or go do something with my husband on a Friday afternoon. Totally not a problem.
Or like
As
Becky's doing right now, go to
yeah.
Florida and work from
Yes, but
Florida.
just work from
Like,
Florida, exactly. So as an arts administrator, totally agree, flexible. As an actor, I mean, I guess it depends on the company, of course, on the show, how tight is the show, how short is the show. But, you can't just take a show off. Like, if it's a performance, I mean, a rehearsal, more flexible. A show, you just can't take it off unless you have negotiated that like months before they have an understudy or you're double cast. Otherwise, like, is what it is, baby. All four of those weekends, you ain't going anywhere,
Well,
you know? So,
I think you just brought up the solution, right? Which is, you guys both did the Route 66 to the Grand Canyon. And that was quite nice because it was a small cast that was double cast. And so you could go to your counterpart and say, hey, will you take these three shows? I'll take these three shows. Will you do that? The show that I'm in right now for Theatricos, it's a very odd situation, but because there was already an understudy, though she can't do the full final weekend, which is why they emergency brought me in to replace the OG actress, whereas normally you would expect an understudy to replace the OG actress. But she and I, like, I
Oh,
asked
you
right
split them.
away. I said, hey, I want you to take the Sundays because I teach aerial on Sundays and I don't want to skip three classes in a row. And so it was great because then it was like, sure. She, and funny enough, her name is Danya. So it was like, Danya can take these two and Don will take these two. So we were able to negotiate, which I think is great. And I think especially anything, on a shorter run, I think you kind of plan around it. But on a longer run, I think that is why things like swings exist and understudies exist. So that you can say 6 months into this, like I need to go to a wedding. I need to, so that you can get those days off.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, at the smaller companies, you know, understudies or swings just aren't as common. So, but yes, absolutely. In the shows that I've had that, I have been able to have conflicts ahead of time. Or yeah, with 66, it's been nice because now I'm in two summer shows and my counterpart is covering all of those shows I would have had to miss, but then I'll join the show again in September. You know what I mean? So like I'm not leaving the show. She's just covering like 15 shows for me, which is a lot of shows. But yeah, that's absolutely a blessing that is not very common, but maybe we should make it more common. But then that's more money. I know it's just so tough. It's so tough.
It's all these problems come back to money too, right? Like if people were just giving billions of dollars to theater, I could really suggest where to redirect it away from too. But let's not get into that in this podcast.
LOL.
Ian, it
Well,
has me thinking, is that a thing for on the musical side? Do you have people who can step in when you need time off?
Yeah, on short runs, usually no. And like Broadway, the Broadway subbing culture is each chair typically has at least four subs deep.
Points?
And
Wow.
And so Rachel might be the third in line keyboard sub for Hamilton Keys 2. And so it's a really it's fairly well oiled and very rare that none of the subs are available. And typically it's something like, hey, can you play this in 3 weeks or in 6 months? But even for emergencies, all of those chairs are really subbed well.
I was gonna
And
say, somehow they got to the number four.
yeah.
Somehow they were like, number two wasn't available, number three wasn't available.
Which
They were
has
on that
happened.
pointy
There is a
point.
person behind every policy, as we have discussed. This has happened before. Is
And
there like a
interest.
retainer
Oh.
fee? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh,
Is there like a retainer fee for like chair
Good
number, like
question,
number four
Becky.
sub? Or is
Oh,
it
just
question?
are you paid for being available?
I mean,
Is that
no,
what I
probably.
don't know what a retainer fee is. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Oh,
like
no.
it, like you're paid to like continue practicing the music behind the scenes. Like, don't
I
forget
don't
your
think
lines, don't
so.
forget. Oh, of course not.
And to the best of my and I've never had a Broadway chair, but to the best of my knowledge, when a Broadway musician takes off, they are not paid for that time. So they can take off up to 50% of the year. If I
Oh,
have
wow.
Keys One on Wicked and I really want to go do a 5 month tour with Clay Aiken, right? Then
Sorry,
I
what a
can do
random name
that.
to say. Is this a real life example? Yes,
Yes,
Clay
so yeah,
Aiken.
the I'll tell you all about my first time sitting in to observe a Broadway pit was Wicked
Okay.
13 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And the keyboard one player who since went on to music direct Dear Evan Hansen, he's a lovely guy. He would play Clay Aiken's gigs sometimes, and so he would take off from Wicked. But while I was sitting in on the pit, the guitarist behind me made a single mistake in at some point in the show, hardly noticeable in my opinion. Like he chose the wrong pedal to play on for a lick or something. And after the show, the music director and I were chatting, and he was like, "Sorry, you had to see that. He's never going to work again on this show." And
Oh my gosh.
I was like, "Oh, maybe I don't want to do this. Maybe something is not like
Oh my.
I really enjoy sight reading and like improv and like music directing and being in the room with people, and I don't do great at perfection." And so it turns
Wow.
out though that the reason that happened is the guitarist in that chair played like 99% of shows, almost never subbed out. And so his subs didn't really get to get used to coming in. And so imagine you're like swing on the national tour of six and you go 9 months without performing it, and then all of a sudden they're like, "All right, you're on tonight." Like it's a
Damn.
fascinating thing. And so some Broadway musicians will actively think about that, and they'll sub out even when they don't need to, just so that their subs can keep the book in their hands. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
they'll take off
fascinating.
their birthday or whatever just so that they can. Yeah, for sure. Interesting.
I Ian, I kind of want to go back to, I'm sorry, I'm changing gears here. Because I remember when I, before I started working a non-theater job about 2 years ago, I remember I called you and I was like, I don't know what to do. Do I take this non-theater job that's like steady benefits, blah, blah, blah? Or do I take a chance and hope that something like c comes, blah, blah, blah? And I remember asking you, and I don't know if you remember this, but I was like, do you still feel like you are artistically fulfilled, if that is something that you are we're still looking for? And do you remember what you said to me? And it's okay if you don't.
I pro I probably said that I'm more fulfilled doing non arts than I am than I was as a professional artist.
You did, and that has just really stuck with me. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, just the art that you, because I think you were still kind of doing like the artist hangout type stuff. Can you just kind of talk about the art that you did cultivate in your life during that time, or not? Like, yeah, just
Happy to. I was working a job with somewhat flexible hours that I didn't feel exhausted at the end of the day, and I could take paid time off, and I had disposable income for the first time in my life. And so I would have all my friends over and have them share art with me. I would take I got a call on a Friday night because they needed an emergency rehearsal sub for Yiddish Fiddler off Broadway, which is one of my favorite
Cool.
productions I've ever been
Wait,
involved with.
really?
And so I found out on Friday night, and then on Saturday morning I sight read all of
Wait.
Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish in front of Joel Grey. It was like one of the last dress rehearsals before
What
tech.
the heck? Whoa.
And if I had gotten that gig when I was a professional, like full-time gigging musician, the stress of like I have to do really good because there are so many important people in the room. And instead, I was at Google and I was like, "Oh, this is going to be so fun!" And I had a
Fun,
great time and I played better because I was. It wasn't like a life or death. Is this my last chance to work off Broadway, sort of thing? And I
Like
got
that
called
one guy
back.
said, he'll never work again.
So I got called back to play multiple rehearsals after that, just based on that first sight reading, and it was partially because I was so much more chill. And so all of my work, my improv, my teaching, I've gotten to choose the gigs that I want, and that's made a huge difference.
Well, what I think is really important about this conversation that I'm enjoying is, and I don't want anyone listening to this episode like thinking that the shrews are like leave theater, but more instead like addressing like the real life questions that we get a lot. I mean, we see so many of our friends step away or leave completely or step away for a while, but what I like about this conversation is that like it is not life or death. Like if you step away for a couple years because you just want, some steadiness or, like I remember girls, like there was a time, early Flagstaff days where I was like gigging so much and I didn't have a place to live. And that was so hard on me. And eventually I was like, you know what? I just need to choose where I'm living and maybe I won't work as much, but I just need to have a home. You know what I mean? So if like, gigging is feeling really tough and for a couple years you get a desk job so that you can really enjoy your after 5 p.m. and just like go out with friends and make some money and do, like, if you just need some steadiness for a while, like I guess what I'm trying to say is like we all do it a little bit differently. And if you need to step away for a while, it doesn't mean that like theater's not there waiting for you. Or that, yeah, like Ian's saying, you can't just like take the gigs you want to take and just do weekend stuff or do smaller gigs or and yeah, then you're not like worried about the money as much. So I think what I like about this conversation is like, as we've said before, theater's happening on all levels. And so if for a while, like being a full-time theater person is just like not working for a while, then that's okay. Like you can step away and it'll always be waiting for you.
See if and like when I hear that story also, Ian, I think like if you had still been working like full time in a musical theater or like piano capacity, you might not have even had that opportunity because maybe you would have been I don't know,
on
out of
another
town
gig.
or
Yep.
at another gig. Yeah. And how awesome that you just like you could have fun. Like you're like, yeah, I'll pick this up and it's fun. Yeah. So there is that niceness of having that like stability with something else where it's like, yeah, this is not make or break. Like I don't need this to survive. Yeah, you maybe you feel a little bit more of like ownership over your time too. Like you can take it or not. Yeah. Did you during that like this time when you were at Google, did you feel like any sort of identity things come up for you? Like, did you still feel like you were an artist? Or like how did you introduce yourself when like you met somebody new, maybe?
Oh, that is I always, when I would meet someone, I would say, I used to be a professional musician, and I was like, oh, I still work a ton of gigs. Like, I'm still playing SETC, I'm still playing Disney auditions, I'm still getting called in to sub on things. And so I would almost always say, oh, I used to be a prof I'm a musician, but I also work in tech. And one of my coworkers at Google, who shall not be named,
Oh no.
she we had a one-on-one meeting, and she was like, it must be so hard for you that you failed as a musician, but I hope that Google is like a I hope that you're still happy here even though your dreams didn't work out. And
Oh my gosh. That is the opening blurb of this episode. What a
I
cool
was like,
thing to say in
I was
person.
like, actually, I was doing quite fine. I was quite successful. But what a crazy thing to say.
Oh now you
my
feel like you need to
gosh.
defend like your life choices that got you to this moment and like your time in theater.
It's like the waitress question. Like when you tell someone you're a full-time actor and they're like, oh, but you're a waitress, right? Oh my gosh. It's like,
It was
I cannot believe humans are still saying things like that to other humans.
one of
Ian, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I one of my younger colleagues, I go to a music retreat, music retreat occasionally, and one of the like seniors in undergrad there was gossiping about me and saying, what does Ian even know about the industry? He couldn't even make it. And but then another student sent that screenshot to me, which is so petty, and I was like, I put them in a group chat. I was like, you don't send private texts to other people. And you, what a rude
Don't
thing to
say nice
say.
things. Yeah. Don't do
Oh my goodness. Wait, also,
I
I got to say, like, if you
Good
were
for
working
you, calling him out.
right? But like if you were working in tech here in Flagstaff and also like having a musician background, I feel like nobody would even think to ever like that would never cross their mind to ask you that because here people work in such like things are maybe
Varying
more fluid
fields.
than maybe New York. I don't know, but like
Yeah, maybe
what
it's a New York thing. Honestly,
a
maybe it is like a larger market stigma
maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
versus like, here in a smaller market or even somewhere like Phoenix maybe would be small enough that having a day job wouldn't be that strange to people, or most likely would definitely not be strange to people. Oh, but
Oh
that just makes me so mad that people say things like that. But Becky, I really am glad you asked that question because I feel like I really identify with that question. Like I even went through a lot of that, like when I decided to leave Flag Shakes, my position at Flag Shakes, I was like, my identity's gonna change. Everyone thinks of me as a staff member at Flag Shakes, and it's just like, it just doesn't matter. Like it's like I had to work through some like emotional stuff of like but I think that's really interesting because like the like way you introduce yourself. Yeah, like if I got a date, like if I became a nurse, I don't know, like would I be like, I'm a nurse and I also do theater? Or would I say like, I'm an actor, but I'm all, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's really interesting, like how we decide to like, I don't know, identify ourselves and like when that matters to us and like,
Or like
yeah,
societal, like preconceived societal perceptions of us or expectations or I don't know. Yeah, because I remember when I was not working full time in theater, being like, yeah, like putting that on myself and being like, I failed or like I want to be an artist, but if I introduce myself as something else, like Like, will people not know? Like, how do I share this? Because, and I guess that's we humans contain multitudes, and we don't have to limit ourselves by I do this, period, full stop, and nothing
Yeah.
else.
I think there's different aspects too of this that, are almost the quitting question, right? Because it's like, and it comes back to a lot of the, restraints on different aspects of it that we were talking about earlier. Because it's like, you can also, and the shifting within the industry, because different pieces of the industry are better suited to different times in your life and different, places that you're in. And like, for me, getting back on stage in this role at Theatricos, I only did it because I'm a month late to the rehearsal process, and so I only have to spend 3 weeks rehearsing. Whereas before that, sacrificing all of my nights when I'm a mom to two young kids
For two
is
whole
too
months,
much
yeah.
for me to do or to want to do. But, 13-year-old me would be like, "You failed. You are not an actress anymore."
Oh,
You know?
yeah.
Whereas at this point in my life, I'm kind of like, "Well, whew, thank God I'm not doing that anymore for a while," because it's just, it's harder. And sometimes I miss things. Like, I think, man, I'd really love to direct again, is actually the one that I miss more, is directing. But then I have to tell myself, yeah, I'm also not ready to really take that on right now because I don't want to make those sacrifices. But I get to keep doing the thing I love and keep doing the thing I'm passionate about. Though now I'm in essentially fundraising, which I freaking love, and no one else does, but I love it. It's so fun. But I think
You put the
that
fun in fundraising,
Right.
Dawn.
But I think that I can remember judging contemporaries of mine from grad school, right? And being like, oh, she's a teacher in Fresno now? Like, way to not make it. And now I'm like, you absolute asshole. What were you?
And now you're like, wow, she made
Right? Well,
it.
she has three little girls. It's like whatever the story is, it's just like, man, why are you being such a jerk? Like, she chose to do
Goals
what she
change.
wanted to do. And none of that is failing. It's just, kind of, and none of it has to be permanent. It's like she could get back on stage any day. I could go back to directing whenever I wanted to. These are all things that we have the option towards. But there is this real idea in, I think, especially in our industry, that if you didn't make it in a very specific way, and if you don't keep doing it forever and never stop, then you have failed. And that's such a weird stigma that we put on ourselves as artists,
No, like even look at the three of us, like, look at how we have shifted almost with each other, right? Like, I'm serious, like, like we've each kind of taken steps away or steps back. In like, I was doing arts admin for a long time, and then I was like, I need to get back to it. And now I'm directing and acting much more. And Dawn, you shifted from ED, and Becky's up, and we've all just kind of, and all those things are great changes that we've made, and they've just been changes for certain parts of our life. Like, there was a time where I wasn't acting as much a couple years ago, and like when I got married, like on top of getting married, acting was not in the cards. I was too busy. There was too many life changes. And now that I've been married for a couple years, I have the like stability to get back into it. And so it's interesting because we've talked about this again so many times, like being successful looks so different for each person. And even just looking at the shrews, like we've all stayed in theater like all these years, but we've just started to shift the little, slots around, and we've stayed in our fields, but maybe no, we weren't acting every month out of every year for the last 10 years, but we have been
It's like
making art,
it's about I maybe the amount of time. Like maybe right now art is 100% of my time, but one year ago it was maybe 30% or no, it was maybe 70% of my time. Like I don't know, yeah, I guess it's just the puzzle changes a little bit, I guess, or the spectrum, I don't
No,
know.
yeah, absolutely.
Ian, there were a lot of decisions that you had to make before you accepted the offer for this new role. Do you want to talk about like what that decision was? I know that there was another path that you could have gone down, or that would have also been a very different like life choice
Life
for
change,
you.
yeah.
Yeah.
So I was applying at university roles and tech roles, and some of those tech roles that I was getting to final interviews for would have been like over $200,000 a year, which is pay off my student loans in a year and retire early money. And university professor is like, it's a solid job, and I'm gonna be moving to a state with a lower cost of living, and so I'm gonna be just fine. But it is an interesting, I had a fun crossroads, and in the end, it was sort of the, if I'm gonna be doing theater in a really corporate way that I find really boring, then I might as well do relatively boring work for more money. But if I can be doing the interesting theater work that I enjoy the most, and teaching, which is my favorite thing to do, then that ended up winning out, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you said it was a dream job, so I feel like you in your heart knew that that's what you wanted. And sometimes money, I mean, sometimes money totally wins, especially different parts of our life. But I say this to Jacob all the time because I'm like, I would rather be poor and happy. You know, I'd rather really love my job, you know. So it sounds like you're gonna really enjoy where you're gonna be. That's exciting. Yay.
I'm looking forward to it.
And sorry, that was not me implying that you're gonna be poor.
Oh no. I mean, it's I but it is it's an important I think a lot of people, I think it's one of the reasons why I find a lot of theater programs to have questionable ethics in recruiting, because I think a lot of 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds don't understand in reality what it looks like to be poor. And so theater as an industry is just a lot easier for people from wealthy backgrounds, because like I know theater people who their parents just pay their rent entirely in New York City, and then they don't have to work as many waitress jobs or whatever, and they have more time to audition. It's easier to be successful. And it's one of the things that I don't see enough in discourse at the Tony Awards or whatever. We've done a good job of talking about a lot of different ways that the theater is not representative. But most of the time, when I see someone win a Tony Award, their parents already have a blue link on Wikipedia. And so I like to mention that I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is amazing, but his parents were a doctor and a lawyer. And I'd be curious to see how many people who are on Broadway right now are from a poor background, or who are first generation college students, or anything like that. I don't
For
think that
sure.
really gets discussed very much. The money conversation is tough. I know we're close to the
Oh,
end, so
absolutely.
thanks for letting me go on that side
That's a
of
really
trip.
great point. That's a whole other episode added to the docket. No, so true, so true. Yeah, and you know, having student loans versus not, and did you go to school for free? And yeah, what jobs do you have to take just to pay off your loans to then be an actor full time? Yeah, it's so many layers, so many layers. So we are running low on time, so I want to ask, is there any last just, you know, big thoughts we want to add to this very interesting and rich conversation that we could probably talk about for hours because it has so many layers here. But do we have other last tidbits we want to leave with the Shrew Crew about this topic?
You said it right that there's just so many big thoughts on this, but I think it's always going to be difficult to make arts work within capitalism. And I think I'm not an anthropologist, but I think proto-humans, everybody was making art and everybody was also hunting, likely. And so it's always going to be difficult to coordinate. And I don't think artists are ever going to be paid as much as they should be, should with a question mark. And you all deal with this. You're all familiar with running theater, and so you know the money problem. And I think I see a lot of young angry theater artists who show up at a small regional theater and they're like, why aren't we being paid Broadway rates? And like, genuinely, they just don't know where the money is coming from. They don't understand the complexities of fundraising. They don't know the current grant landscape. And it's so tough. It's tough, and I'm really glad that I went into business for a while because it gave me like it scoped me out a little bit from my sort of my myopia. So
Yeah, a
I
good
recommend
mindset to have.
everybody try a different job at some point, is my recommendation.
Yeah,
for
nothing
sure.
is
Yeah.
permanent.
Go,
How
Becky.
do you, or another final, how do you feel about leaving New York City?
Really good. I'm so
Okay.
excited. I'm gonna have a porch and I'm gonna have trees in my yard, hopefully, because I'm gonna have a yard. We might buy a house. That's yeah.
That's thrilling.
Yeah, I'm very
That's big stuff. Oh,
Yay. Yay.
wow.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
thanks.
super excited for you.
Is there any, we usually ask
Oh, yeah.
if you want folks to find you, how can they find you? Do you want to talk about your the app that you have for musicians and gigs?
Oh, yeah. Rachel and I built Vouch Gigs, which should just be Googleable now, but it's for musicians and it's free, and you can use it as a portfolio. So I can list piano sight reading expert, and I can put a little link next to piano sight reading. And there's not really a website that exists like that, where you can be really granular about your skills. And so, speaking of branching out, it's been really fun to code and to like learn about starting a small business. Yeah.
Oh, fun. So you said
Thanks.
it's
Thanks for
called
reminding me, Becky.
Vouch. What
Oh,
is it called, Beck?
Vouch Gigs.
Vouch Gigs. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And if people want to hire you, talk to you, how can they find you? Instagram, website, etc.
Oh, yeah, I
Anything you want
think
to include?
my website's out of date and I'm very
Great.
happily employed right now. So,
Don't find me.
Do not
if you
find
really want to
me.
find me, reach out to Becky, I guess.
Yes. He
He
I
has
would
a
love to
firewall.
connect you with
A paywall to get to Ian. Awesome. Well, that's great.
Yay.
Lovely. Well, thanks so much, Ian. That was a really, really interesting conversation, and it was really nice having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was such a delight to meet you, Don and Hannah and Becky. Always lovely to see
Yeah.
you.
Yay. Lovely to see you too, Ian. Always
Nice
fun
to meet
chatting and
you.
learning a little bit more about you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this month's episode of Untamed Shrews. I'm Becky.
And I'm Hannah.
And I'm Dawn. Join us for our next episode in July. Follow Untamed Shrews on our Instagram at Untamed Shrews Podcast and on the Flag Shakes website. All episodes of Untamed Shrews can be found wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on sunsounds.org.
Subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, put us in your Instagram stories, donate at flagshakes.org/donate. Become a podcast sponsor, buy Shrew Crew merch, help support the Shrew Crew.
This episode of Untamed Shrews, starring Hannah Johnson, Dawn Tucker, Becky Zeritsky, and Ian Leroy. Show art by Calliope Ludecker. Podcast theme song by Cadence Lamb. Podcast produced and edited by Hannah Johnson and presented by Flagstaff Shakespeare Festival. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.